You kneel with me. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before Thee this morning, truly thankful for Thy presence here this day, Your Spirit touching us. I do pray that it might continue here. I pray that each one of us might receive of it. I pray that our brother might be touched by it, might be inspired. I know that he has sought Thee. I know that he has made preparation. I know he has a great desire to be of service. I know that he has dedicated his life and his heart and his soul for this work and for each one of us here. So I do pray for our brother Buzz. I pray that you might strengthen him for this glorious task that he has before him this hour. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for this work. I do pray that you might be with each one of us as we endeavor to go forward in this gospel, to share the good things that you've given us. And we thank Thee and praise Thee for these many, many blessings and gifts that we receive each and every day of our lives. I pray that as we contemplate this hour, that we might, each one of us, truly might be put a prayer upon our hearts and our souls for ourselves, that we might receive, that we might grow, that we might come ever closer to Thee, that the love of Jesus Christ might abound within our hearts, within our souls. And I know that if that is the case, we will not be able to hold it back, but we will go forward and share that love with others. For I know that is the only way that the love of Christ will grow within us. Dear Heavenly Father, I do pray for the many that are sick and afflicted. I pray for those that are hungry, those that are without homes, those that are cold. And I pray that you might be with them, that you might strengthen them. And I know that these are material things, but I know that you provide all for us. So I pray for them, that truly they might be strengthened and warmed and filled during this winter season, that you might, above all, put a hope within our hearts a hope of good things from Thee. I pray that You might be with them. And dear Heavenly Father, I do pray for little Emma, who is to be administered to this morning. And I pray that as the elders lay their hands upon her head, that truly she might receive of Your Spirit, that she might be strengthened, that she might be healed. And dear Heavenly Father, we know that all good things come from Thee. We know that You are capable. I know that You want the best for Your children. I know that You want the best for Emma. So I pray that Your will might be done. I pray that You might look within our hearts and know that we are offering up prayers. You know our heart's desire for her is that she might be healed. So we pray that that might be accomplished this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for like meetings where they're held in Thy Son's name this day, that truly You might be their empowering spirit, that many might be touched and might be lifted up, that they might be strengthened for the perils and the temptations that lie before them this coming week, also for the opportunities. And dear Heavenly Father, we do ask and pray all these things in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll take care of that administration at this time. Emma? I know our brother is a humble man, but I know, I believe, and I know you believe, that song describes our brother Buzz. He has given his best to the master, and the Lord has blessed him with talents. I see him, you see him. And I also know that he is a walking, talking blessing and testimony of God's healing power. For I know that he has been through a lot the last several years, many, many surgeries, many, many sicknesses. But in each and every one, we in this congregation can see the miracles that happened for our brother. Not just miracles that he would survive, that he would be strengthened, but miracles that he would be strengthened enough to do the work that he has been called to do. And I know that is most important upon his heart and his mind, the work that lies within this gospel. And part of that work, he is going to perform this morning for you and I and for the Lord, because he has a love for the Lord and a love for you and I, that we might come closer, that we might, at that last day, when we face our Lord and Savior, might not be ashamed, but he might see us for what we are, that he might recognize that spirit, his spirit, that lies within us. I know that he has that desire for me and you, each one in this congregation. So I would ask for him your kind attention, your smiles, and your prayers, our brother Buzz.
Thank you, Steve. I'm thankful to be here today and to be among you. Thankful for your blessings. I was sure thankful to be able to witness that ordinance that we had this morning, and mindful of the many times that I have been blessed by administration and to see that little one be administered to, knowing that she has received the blessings of God and having experienced the blessings personally and of others here in the body and among my family and children and grandchildren. I'm so thankful for God to restoring those things to earth, that ordinance would be placed back on earth, and he would ordain men to have authority to perform that. We're thankful. I rejoice in something. Rusty, right before the service, told me last week we had here 59 adults and 20 children. Is that right, Rusty?
Correct.
Amen, huh? Isn't that great? And boy, that made my day just to hear that. And I had a really good week. I was blessed this week in being able to be here Wednesday night. We had a wonderful service Wednesday night. Many wonderful testimonies, and a strong spirit was here. Yesterday, we had the opportunity to pass out some of the things that all of you had donated that our sister talked about, and to experience that, how much appreciated that was of those mainly men that received it. And it was a blessing for all of us. As we've gathered together here, to hear this morning, I've got several things on my mind. I want to talk some about the gospel of Christ. I want to tell of some of the things that we see in our society today, and some of the conditions that I think has happened to our culture and our world and our country, and yeah, even us, you know, and to warn us and to, we might fight these things off. And I'm talking about those things, I want us to look within ourselves and relate it. And I know sometimes in myself when I hear these things, I think of it as of all around me and don't personalize it when I need to think of it as myself. First, I like to recall some things, and you know, that is Jesus Christ never changes. You know, the basis of our belief, the basis of my belief, at any rate, and that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, we have the scriptures that have been preserved for us, and we find in the scriptures there in the 16th chapter of Matthew in the 18th verse that he built his church. Told us how he did it, what he did, how he called men and ordained them, picked them out of the world. Not the scholars, but the ordinary men that he knew their heart. And he called people from all walks of life, all different cultures, called them to him to come and repent of their sins. We're told that, in the day and the time that Christ walked on earth, here there in Jerusalem and again on this continent, you know, the church was the church. There was one. There wasn't 30,000 or whatever the number is today. You know, they were the churches of Christ, as it says in the 16th chapter of the book of Romans. And so he was speaking to his church, but he was speaking to us today also with the many churches that we have around us, because he knew of those times and the prophesied of those times, you know, of the day and the events. And so he was reminding us of his church, what it looked like, what it taught, what it stood for, what the blessings were, what the ordinances were, and what the plan of salvation was. And I hope I can remind some of us today. I just have a copy of the Articles of Faith and our basic beliefs, Articles of Faith and Practice. We have a tract out there that says that. I'm just going to read a few of them just to remind us. We believe that through the atonement of Christ, all men may be saved by obedience to the laws and the ordinances of the gospel. Faith in God and the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance and baptism by immersion for the remission of sins, laying on of hands for the ordination, for the blessing of children, confirmation of the gift of the Holy Ghost, healing the sick, which we witness today. We believe in the powers and gifts of the everlasting gospel, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretations of tongues. We believe the fruit of the Spirit to be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We believe that in the Bible is contained the Word of God, that the Book of Mormon is an added witness for Christ, and that these can contain the fullness of the gospel. We believe in the principle of continuous revelation, just as he had revealed things in the past, that he would continue to reveal things, because he's an unchangeable God. We believe in authority, and a man must be called of God. And we believe in that church organization, as it was, of Christ's church when he set it up, because he was a never-changing God, and those things would be the same. You know, one of the things that I wanted to bring out in here is our belief in the Bible and our belief that the Book of Mormon is a witness of those things of the Bible and a witness of Jesus Christ or for Christ. I have great faith in that belief. I think, and I know most of us here do, if not all of us. You know, we're so blessed to have those scriptures that we can find out and discern things of God. You know, the Book of Mormon tells us that there will be people in the last days who will say, Bible, Bible, we have a Bible, why do we need another Bible? And I tell people, and they ask me why I believe the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, because I believe the Bible. And the Bible testifies of the Book of Mormon. And it has within it those things that witnesses that the things of the Bible are true. It's another way to obtain the absolute truth that's spoken of in the Scriptures. And, you know, in our society today, we've had all, you know, we're high tech, got all the science. Sometimes we think we know everything that we know, you know. And even in our blessings, you know, and sometimes, you know, we're so caught up in the technology and the comforts of life and the blessings that we have, we forget that the Scriptures teach us that all good things are of who? Of God. You know, I might have an affliction upon me, and I might receive a blessing. I might be able to go and get a medicine or herb or whatever it might be, I have to read. It's not in the technology or in the knowledge of man that I've received that blessing. The thing that I received is a blessing of God, because all those things are possible through God. Sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes I lose sight of that. And we're so immersed in the blessings that we have around us, we forget to acknowledge them and think they're from our society, our culture, our great nation, the good job that we have or don't have. But all things come from God. You know, and He wants us to praise Him and to give Him thanks for those things. And we have to remind ourselves. You know, one of the things we have is being a part of the body of Christ. Members in particular. We're all one of the things of the body. Just like the thumb is part of my body and my ear is of the body. We have a mutual concern for each other and support each other and hold each other up. What a wonderful blessing. The body of Christ, His church, that the Lord has established for us to have strength within. And cause us to be apart and to support one another in our prayers, in our supplications, in our attendance, in our thoughts, in our desires for one another, that we might continue in the blessings of God. I'm going to read from the second book of Nephi, 12th chapter. I'm going to start in the middle of the chapter, about verse 80. Nephi has been talking here. He has been speaking to him. He's been talking about the day and the time that we live in, the day and the time that this book came forth out of the religious rivalries and things that were happening in the earth and or in the country and in this nation, the fact that the kingdom of the devil was shaking and knew that he had lost. It was had preached to him concerning those that were ease in Zion and thought that all was done and all was well. And then he went on and he talked. And then starting in the 80th verse, "For after the book of which I had spoken," I'm talking about coming forth of this book, the record of the Nephites, the descendants of Lehi. "And the book which I have spoken of shall come forth and be written unto the Gentiles and sealed up again unto the Lord. There shall be many which shall believe the words which are written, and they shall carry them forth unto the remnant of our seed," talking about the Native American. "And then shall the remnant of our seed know concerning us how that we came out of Jerusalem, that they are the descendants of the Jews. And the gospel of Jesus Christ shall be declared unto them. Wherefore they shall be restored unto the knowledge of their fathers and also to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which was had among their fathers. And then shall they rejoice, for they shall know that it is a blessing unto them from the hand of God. And their scales of darkness shall begin to fall from their eyes, and many generations shall not pass away among them, save that they will be white and a delightsome people. And it shall come to pass that the Jews which are scattered also shall begin to believe in Christ, and they shall begin to gather in upon the face of the earth, face of the land, excuse me. And as many as shall believe in Christ also shall also become a delightsome people. And it shall come to pass that the Lord God shall commence his work among all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people to bring about the restoration of his people upon the earth. And with righteousness shall the Lord God judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. For the time speedily cometh that the Lord God shall cause a great division among the people, and the wicked will be destroyed, and he will spare his people, yea, even if it must be that he must destroy the wicked by fire. Talking about this events that have happened, events that are happening, and events that are yet to happen. And the righteousness and righteousness shall be girdle of his loins, be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And the personal righteousness is going to be required. And then shall the wolf dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling, together, and a little child shall lead them. There'll be peace on earth among all things. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young shall come, young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What a wonderful promise. That out of all this, in the times of despair and the destructions and iniquities among the earth, that the Lord will protect the righteous and prepare a place and a time. And there will be peace among all nations. And that this gospel will be known throughout the world. And we see those things happening, and we look forward to them. And talking here, you know, as it goes on, you experience it. It's talking about the millennial reign, the second coming of Jesus Christ in the near future. A time as we look at the things that are falling in place, and the we can tell from the scriptures that we're near. But he goes on in the 13th chapter and he says, now I'm going to end my prophesying, and I'm going to talk some of I'm going to tell about a few things about the doctrine of Christ. And he goes with verse 4 and he says, I'm going to start at verse 4. For my soul delighteth in plainness, for after this manner doth the Lord God work among the children of men. You with me? I'm in the 13th chapter of second book of Nephi. For the Lord God giveth light unto the understanding, for he speaketh unto men according to their language, unto their understanding. You know, not a difficult concepts to understand. And, you know, they're repeated continually. It's repeated in the Bible. It's repeated in the Book of Mormon as an additional witness that of the plainness and the way to salvation. Wherefore, I would that you should remember that I have spoken unto you concerning that prophet which the Lord showed unto me that should baptize the Lamb of God, which shall take away the sin of the world. And now, if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, Oh, then, how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, even by water? You know, cross-reference there is the third chapter of Matthew and in the 15th verse. And then Christ said, suffered be so for to fulfill all righteousness. That we need to be obedient and follow the example of Christ. That we have to humble ourselves. And I want us to think about the day that we were baptized. And about how we felt, what led up to those thoughts in our minds. And the decisions that we made. And try to picture ourselves today, if we and visualize in our own minds, if we have that same energy of heart that we had then. And if not, why not? And to draw ourselves back to the plain teachings and the promises of God. And now I would ask you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding, he being holy, he showeth unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbled himself before the Lord and witnessed unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in the keeping his commandments. Wherefore, after that he was baptized by fire, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. I read there in our basic beliefs, you know, in the structure of the church, that, you know, the ordinance of laying on of hands for the confirmation of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Possible these days, because Christ has restored his church on earth. It's verse 12, he said unto the children of men, follow thou me. Do what I have done. And the Father saith, oh, wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus save we are willing to keep the commandments of the Father? You know, here we have, many of us have been baptized. Do we continue to keep the commandments of the Father? Have we continued to walk and follow the examples of Jesus Christ? Verse 15 says, and also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore, follow me and do the things which you have seen me do. Walk in my footsteps. Endure to the end. Continue in the faith. Press forward. It goes on and tells us that this is the we must endure to the end to be saved. In verse 20. Verse 21 says, now my beloved brethren, I know by this that unless a man shall endure to the end in the following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore do the things which I have told you that I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. We have to endure the end of our days. This is a witness to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Those same teachings are written in Matthew in the 10th chapter, and Mark in the 13th chapter, and the 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter, in the book of James, that we must continue in the faith and do the things that we see the Lord do. And it's that there is a straight and narrow way or a path that we must obtain to enter into through baptism. For the remission of our sins by fire. That hasn't changed. That's the same requirements today as it was when this was written 559 years ago, as it was before Christ, 2,000 years ago, or it was in Christ's time 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. And he goes on. I'm skipping here because I see I'm already running out of time. Wherefore we must press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end. Behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given in heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. How is that? No other way nor name given. Through Jesus Christ, through following his example, through going down into the waters of baptism, to enduring to the end. Just by those scriptures I read and the scriptures I quoted from the Bible. We have to endure. We have to ensure that we are feasting upon the words of Christ and allowing them to direct us, even today. Even every day of our life, we have to fight off the temptations of the world. We have to be steadfast and immovable. We have to gain our strength. You know, the scriptures say we are to meet together oft. Why? Because the Lord knew that from the body we have a mutual respect for one another and witness to one another, and we have strength from one another. We can't do it by ourselves. Normally, I'm not saying that somebody can't. But one of the things that he has blessed us with is the body of Christ, and we're to partake of it and be among and fellowship among the people of the Church of Christ. A beautiful ordinance was discussed here, the baptism for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It tells us in the scriptures not to neglect those things that are given to us. So we have a responsibility and a need to call on the Holy Spirit to direct us in our life. To take time to listen for the Spirit to direct us in our life. Sometimes we do all the calling and all the anxiety and we forget to listen. We forget to acknowledge. We forget to testify to others so they would know and remember that God is available to us and works with us daily. And the blessings of a God are abundant upon his people. I've experienced it. I know if not all of you, most of you have experienced it. And we have to be quick to respond to that and to remember it and to acknowledge it. God is working among us and will continue to work among us if we continue to be faithful and trust in him. If we accept his word and follow his example. If we're endeavoring to seek him out in our life. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If we see that we aren't having the blessings and that what we need, the fault is not of God. It's ourselves. We've fallen short of something. And he already has blessed us with that knowledge. And he already is working with us in our thoughts, in our cares. And I'm thankful for that. One of the things we find in the world today is all the different, and the scriptures testify of it and witness to it and tells us of the day and the time of the many churches, the many different doctrines, the many different thoughts that are being taught as the gospel and being put forth. And you know, we have seen it time and time again. We can read the scriptures, those things happening to Israel in the days of old in the Old Testament. It happened in the New Testament with the New Testament church. It happened in the Book of Mormon. You know, it happened with Christianity and the apostasy and the falling away and the false witnesses that came in and the prophecies that told of those times. It happened after the church was restored and the falling away and the mistakes and errors and the breaking up of people of the Church of Christ as they left to go in other ways. And it's happening again in all the churches in the world. It happens with all of the multiplicity of modern day interpretation of the Bible and the printing of. You know, I had an experience. I've got a Spanish Bible that on one page is in English, and on the next page it's Spanish. You know, and I loved that when I was, you know, down in Mexico. You know, I could read along and follow the Spanish and know what they were saying, and, you know. And so I couldn't wait to get one in Swahili. And somebody gave me one in Swahili, and boy, you know, I said, oh, great. And I'm reading along, and then I'm reading over what the interpretation of what they're reading. And I don't recognize it as the gospel of Christ. You know, and I forget that once in a while. And everyone, I've still got the book there on a bookshelf in my room there in Kisi. And I go up to it thinking, you know, I'm going to use that and I'll be able to read in Swahili form, you know, some scripture, you know, like it, maybe it'd be my anyone, you know, one of my favorite ones or something. And I go to it and I'm hoping I can use it. And I don't even recognize the scripture because that Swahili version has been interpreted into Swahili from one of the modern versions of the Bible. And it teaches a different gospel than we believe in. So we have to be very careful with that. You know, and as we go in those other countries, we have to be aware of and make sure that the book that they're using. Fortunately, the regular Swahili Bible that they use there came from King James, the Geneva Bible. It's pretty good. But that one that has the various pages, you know, with the two languages, wasn't. We're finding something that's happening in the cultures of the world. I haven't seen it in Kenya. I see it in Nigeria. I see it a little bit in India. They see it in Mexico and Central America, and we see it in America. I expect to see it more in Kenya. I have a hunch that it hasn't hit there yet because those that profess it, those people don't have enough money for them. But what it is, it's the beginning to change the belief of the modern-day church. You know, the church in general went modernistic in 1950s through the 90s. They began to change things and but it's taking it to another step. And it has a name of a movement, and I looked it up on the internet. It's the emerging church. The church is emerging in the last day to fit the day and the time that we live. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. That doesn't fit. That's a disconnect for me. So I see it that it's a potential problem. And it's something that we need to. So I'm going to just read what was written. The emerging church movement takes its name from the idea that as culture changes, a new church should emerge in response. In that case, it is a response by various church leaders to the current era of postmodernism. Although postmodernism began in the 1950s, the church didn't really seek to conform to its tendency until the 1990s. Most modernism can be thought of as it means taking away of the cold, hard fact in favor of warm, fuzzy subjectivity. The emerging church movement can be thought of the same way. The emerging church movement falls into line with the basic postmodern thinking. It is about experience over reason, subjectivity over objectivity, spirituality over religion, images over words, outward over inward, feelings over truth. Warm, fuzzy feelings to feel good. The new emerging church, and it's being taught on television, being taught in the congregations in the world. There are reactions to modernism. These are reactions to modernism and are thought to be necessary in order to actively engage contemporary culture. This movement is still fairly new, though it is not yet a standard method of doing church among the groups chosen to take postmodern mindset. And here's some of the things. For example, because experience is more valued more highly than reason, they change. Because I had this experience. Truth becomes relative. I had this experience. I'm going to do this. Somebody else has another one. They're going to do that. Relativism opens up all kinds of problems as it destroys the standard that the Bible contains the absolute truth. One of those things that we say we believe. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. We believe the Book of Mormon is a witness to those things. And it slowly is taking away from the fact that the Scriptures are to be used as the source of absolute truth, not man's thinking and the relativity of it. But we should turn to the Scriptures. But this is telling us that personal experience is allowed to define and interpret what truth actually is. A saving faith in Jesus Christ is rendered meaningless. And so we have to, my reason for mentioning it is that we would be aware of these things. That we would know that they're taking place. And as we hear things being taught, bring those things back to what the Scripture is talking about. You know, there in 2 Timothy, where it says all Scripture is given of God for doctrine, for reproof, for instructions in righteousness. Not the thinkings of man. These are the places that we're to go. The books that we're going to be judged by in the last day that's spoken of, the book of Revelation. Why would we go after the teachings of man and believe those things? I have a... another scripture I want to read. 2 Timothy 1. Second Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You know, stay away from those things. Stick and study the Scriptures, that we would know them and we would understand them, so that we would prove to ourselves that those things are truth. And that we would be steadfast. I want us to reflect back to the basic teachings of the gospel of Christ and to stay with them and to relish them and to study them and to be able to express to ourselves and then to those around us what it is that we believe and where we find it in the Scriptures, not because we just think it's right. We have to be able to know for ourselves. Or somebody else could easily change our mind, couldn't they? And draw us away. Phoenix reunion was a wonderful reunion. And there were all, really, somebody mentioned, I think it was Jane Ann yesterday. She'd gotten CDs from it and was enjoying the sermons. Wonderful sermons. And one of those that... our brother Bruce has mentioned a couple of times in our Sunday school class. It was a sermon that was given by Brother Don McIndoe. And he quoted from prophecy, the Old Testament, about Jerusalem, about Israel, and related it to is those things that cause it to fall and the cultures to fall, and brought it into perspective, into the day and the time that we live today. How do you say that? Zephaniah? Third chapter. Zephaniah. Talking about Jerusalem and the fact that she was going to be destroyed, and what caused that destruction and causes the destructions in the cultures, in the countries, the churches, the individuals in the world. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord and drew not near her God. Four things that we have to be obedient to the voice of God. We have to place our faith and trust in the Lord. We must draw near to God. We must receive His instruction. And that caused Jerusalem to fall, be destroyed. Those people were carried away, scattered, you know, among the earth. And it happens with cultures. It happens with churches. It can happen to you and I. And, you know, there's a scripture I like to read. Ezekiel 33. And I'm reading it as much for myself as anything. A reminder. I came across it and read it while I was in Kenya the last time. Let me find it. Verse 1-9. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him up for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warned the people. You know, they put a guard at the gate, and he was to blow the trumpet to warn them. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and take not the warning, if the sword came and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Wasn't the fault of the guard. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Those are pretty strong words. Pretty strong words of not admonishing the watchman of the Lord, the ministry, to sound the alarm. To give out warnings. And there's much truth in the scripture that in Zephaniah that was written in the day and the time that we are living in our country, within the Church of Christ, and within our own homes and lives. And we have to give a warning. I have to. I have to remember that warning myself. I have to remember to obey the voice of God. I have to read it in order to know what it is. I have to study it and acknowledge it. And I have to listen for it. I have to allow the Holy Spirit to direct me and to listen to those things. I have to obey them. That's part of my endurance. That's part of what's required for my soul salvation. It's part of what's required of the church. It's required for our nation to change. What's the promises upon this earth? That it's this country that would be this continent that would be a land of promise forever and ever, and as long as they serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. If not, they would be destroyed and swept off. And that's where we are. That's where we're going. That's the things that we have allowed to change. Just something as simple as what is in the paper this week in Independence here. Who was it? The mayor said, I don't care what they say, we're going to say a prayer at our council meetings. Well, amen, brother. I'm for him. I don't know the individual, but I liked what he said. You know, we have sat back and not stood up for those things and voted right and been vocal, but we allow everybody else to tell us to change laws, to change our culture. But we have to pray about those things. The Lord would help us, would change. We have to pray for our nation's leaders that the Lord would be able to change their heart. That there would be righteous people that would stand up for the offices as they come. We have to pray for our church. That we would listen and know the voice of the Lord. That we would listen to His instructions. That we would believe Him. That we would place our trust. One of those was, did I read that one? They didn't place their trust in God. I will read things and allow it to be changed within my mind to accept things that I know are going on. And we have to stop doing that. And it starts with us individually. It doesn't start with me pointing out what Frank did wrong or whoever. I'm not picking on you, Frank, but you know. Doesn't start that. It starts with you and I, with me. It starts with us hearing. It starts with us allowing the watchmen to give their warning. And we as watchmen, you know, we have to feel impelled to do those things and speak up. And it might hurt some people. It might condemn some people, not by picking out people, but them looking within themselves and what they're doing. You know, what are we talking about? We've got iniquity in the church. We've got iniquity in the East Local. I've got iniquity in my home. And we have to remove those things. We have to come forth and change them. You know, we are unbelieving people in some things. How many of us have asked a minister of the Church of Christ to come to our house and counsel us over something? Raise your hand if you don't. No, don't do that. But, you know, very few. I can think of one time I did that. Shame on me. What do we think if the minister of the Church of Christ calls up and says, "Hey, Bob, going to stop over tonight with another minister"? He's scared to death, isn't he? What did I do wrong? Shame on us. We're not letting the watchmen counsel. The watchmen aren't counseling. We should encourage it. We should know that we have to have that. We go everywhere else. We listen to the TV and let the TV counsel us. We listen to the preacher on the TV and let them counsel us. We might go to another class somewhere and let them counsel us. We don't go to what God has given us for His counsel. We don't hear the word. We have to hear the voice. We have to place our trust in His choices and His commandments and do them. We have to seek Him. Diligent. That's what it's talking about in those scriptures. And I think I'm falling short. And I'm sending out a warning. I think that there's other ones. I'm not the only one. And I want you to personalize it. And I want you to say, you know, I'm out picking on you. I want you to think about that. You know, we have our culture is nobody's going to tell me what to do. I know what the scriptures say. Am I right? We have a tendency to do that. So we don't believe that God called which watchman. You know, I'm being a little bit facetious there, and I don't mean that. But I'm trying to get the attention. You know, we must trust in the Lord. We must draw ourselves near to Him. That may be the most first one we ought to draw. Are we talking with God? Are we listening for His response and allowing it to affect our life and to make changes in it? Or are we caught up in our beliefs? Are we caught up what we think that the, you know, is right? What's the source of truth? We have to remember those things. We have to humble ourselves and come before His throne, as it's spoken of. I want to turn to Moroni in the 6th chapter. Might be a different use of this. Talking about baptism into the church. Talking about entering in at the gate and everything. But that's not the point I want to bring out. In verse 4, it says in 6th chapter of Moroni, if you're in our book, it's page 762, verse 4. You know, Moroni gave a lot of the things, instructions on how ordinances were to be performed and everything, so we'd have them in the last day. And it wasn't perverted by man. We have the exact, you know, how to serve the sacrament, the very prayer and everything, and talks about baptism, how to do it by immersion, and very distinct. And he goes on in verse 4, he says, and after that they had been received under baptism. This is what they did in the early church. It's what we're to do. They were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost. They were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. And their names were taken. That they might, why were their names taken? It was, you know, there's a reason. That they, and so we're to, you know, we're to take their names. We're to recall who these are, our brothers and sisters is talking about, that they might be remembered and nourished by the goodwill of God. That we might remember them in our prayers, that we might hold them forth, that we might, that to keep them in the right way, we have a responsibility here. It says to meet together oft, you know, to fast and to pray, but we're to meet together oft, to fellowship, to be a strength to witness one to another, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, so that we'd remember to pray about things, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The church did meet together oft to fast and to pray, to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. The reason we meet. The reason we fellowship. For the welfare of our souls. And they did meet oft to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. We come together to remember, to partake according to the commandments. that we would gain our strength from him. That we are strict to observe that there should be no iniquity among them. And whosoever was found to commit iniquity and three witnesses of the church to condemn them before the elders. And if they repented not and confessed not, their names were blotted out and they were not numbered among the people of Christ. But as oft as they repented and sought forgiveness with real intent, they were forgiven. We fall short in that. We're afraid to do that. We're afraid that, you know, I don't mean the word afraid necessarily. We don't do a good job of that. We're reluctant to take a stance. Because we know somebody and love them. Because we're close to them. They might be a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter or an uncle or an aunt. But we're talking about people's souls. We're talking about our soul. We've got to be quick to receive the instructions and the corrections that the Lord gives us, that his watchmen give us, that we hear them and make a change and repent. And hold those up that need that special prayer that are struggling with those things, that they might repent and come back and be numbered once again. We don't do ourselves any good, I don't think, to have people on the membership rolls of the church that we know are doing other things. We have people that are on the church rolls. They haven't been told that their names would be taken off. Shame on us. They might have joined another church. Shame on us. Their soul salvation determines that they repent and come back and be numbered among the body of Christ. And we need to pray for them. And we have a tendency to forget them. I am speaking about myself. Shame on me. And as oft as they repent and sought forgiveness with real intent, they were forgiven. Brought back among the body. Their names were added once again. Praise God. The way is prepared for them. It says, and their meetings were conducted by the church after the manner of the workings of the Spirit and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For as the power of the Holy Ghost led them whether to preach or exhort or to pray or to supplicate or to sing, even so it was done. Instructions, Prophet Moroni. You'll find the similar instructions of the watchmen and, you know, and the conditions of sin and forgiveness and to watch for iniquity and written in the Bible. Those, you know, I'm not just picking up the Book of Mormon. I just, you know, those things are well laid out in plainness in the Scriptures. And we're allowing the world to change our beliefs. I'm allowing the world to affect me that I'm not doing everything I need to do. And so I when Brother Don gave that sermon in Phoenix and brought these items up, that hit my core. And I could tell by some things that Bruce did said it did him too. And I know it did others. Those things that, you know, simple things that we allow Satan to, you know, leads to our eternal destruction. You know, we have a need to repent of those things and to forsake them and change that. We need to trust. We need to obey the voice. We need to receive instruction. We need to receive correction. We don't like the receiving correction. Human nature, by the way. Yeah. But we're not to have the human nature. Natural man, you know, is an enemy of God. It has been, always will be, unless he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. That's what we have to remember. That's what we have to remind ourselves of. That's why we have to meet and talk about these things and gain strength one with another of those things that we should be doing as the body of Christ. And draw ourselves nearer to God, to seek His face. I'm going to close. I'm going to read his closing scripture. I hope I have reminded us of some of our responsibilities. So that we would remember the need to be baptized and to be a part of the body of Christ. To repent of our sins. To remember our baptism and the commitment that we made that day. To remember that we all have the necessity, according to the Bible, according to the Book of Mormon, to endure. To receive that salvation. To be obedient to the commandments of God. That we're aware of the changes that's happening in our culture and in our world and the churches today. When we see things, that we make ourselves approve and study the scriptures, that we recognize, you know, that some of the things that are being taught are not of God. That we remember to place our faith and trust. I'm going to read from verse 38. Now, my beloved brethren, I have said fifth chapter of Alma, page 325 in our Book of Mormon. And now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you that I might awaken you to a sense of your duty to God, that you may walk blameless before Him, that you may walk after the holy order of God after which you have been received. After which you have been received. And now I would that you should be humble, submissive, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times, asking for whatsoever things we stand in need, both spiritual and temporal, always returning unto our God, returning thanks unto our God for whatsoever things we do receive, and see that we have faith, hope, and charity. We are always abound in good works. May God bless us. May God work among us. May He help us to place our faith and our trust, that we might seek His voice, that we might place our trust in Him, that we would understand the Scriptures and recognize those things that may be being brought into our daily lives that are foreign to the teachings of Jesus Christ and our soul's salvation. Thank you.